This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. While summer is still officially with us for another couple of weeks, the summer movie season is definitely winding down. The multiplex brought us a familiar onslaught of sequels, superheroes, and retreads, from Conan to Captain America, Transformers to Teen Wizards. Well, it's time to put down those 3D glasses, take a deep breath, and look forward to the fall. From vampires to birdwatchers, our film critic Bob Mondello has a preview of what movie studios have in store for audiences as the weather turns cooler.
Start with the vampires. After four movies of anguished glistening in the latest installment in the Twilight series, Edward will finally make an honest woman of Bella.
No measure of time with you would be long enough. But we'll start with forever.
Wedding bells are going to chime, and so no doubt will multiplex cash registers. Nothing else this fall is going to match Breaking Dawn Part 1 at the box office, but there will be a few other reasons to head for the Cineplex, not all of them entirely escapist. For instance, director Steven Soderbergh has a star-studded picture specifically designed for the start of flu season, Contagion, about a deadly virus outbreak.
I really need you to get off that bus. Listen, it's quite possible you've come in contact with an infectious disease and that you're highly contagious. Do you understand? And stay away from other people.
No, now what do I do?
Don't talk to anyone. Don't touch anyone. That's the most important.
Ready to scare you to death, Kate Winslet, Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law, and no doubt some guy sneezing in the row behind you. There's also a high finance thriller for those who found this summer's Dow Jones roller coaster insufficiently alarming. Margin Call shows what happens when a rogue trader puts his brokerage firm in jeopardy.
Sir, if those assets decrease by just 25%, that loss would be greater than the current market capitalization of this entire company.
You cannot be doing what you're thinking of doing.
Sell it all today.
You're selling something that you know has no value.
Look at these people wandering around with absolutely no idea what's about to happen.
Remember that feeling? So, bankruptcies, plagues, vampires, what else could scare us? Well, it's the start of primary season. How about politicians? Ryan Gosling is a trusted staffer in George Clooney's presidential campaign in the Ides of March.
Next president of the United States of America, Governor Mike Moore.
You really want this story getting out?
Dignity matters.
You were off the campaign, but you thought it was important to fix things.
Steven, don't do this.
Do or say anything if I believe in it, but I have to believe in the cause.
For what it's worth, Clooney is also in a fall comedy of sorts. The Descendants is about a guy trying to hold his family together while his wife is in a coma.
We have to go through this thing together, you and Scotty and me.
You really don't have a clue, do you? Tim, Mom was cheating on you.
The Descendants is from the writer-director of Sideways, who knows a little something about turning life's rough patches into dramedy. So do the folks behind 50-50, a surprisingly funny look at two friends, one with cancer, played by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and the other trying to look on the bright side, played by Seth Rogen.
You really think that a girl's gonna go for me just because I have cancer?
For the millionth time, yes!
Great song.
Totally.
I have cancer.
I was wrong. It was weird. It's weird like that.
No, it doesn't sound cool.
50-50 is based on the real experiences of Rogan and a friend who was diagnosed with cancer. Less reality-based comedies include Tower Heist with Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy.
You know this is a bad idea, right?
That's it. I don't want you talking to me for the rest of the robbery.
Jack and Jill, in which identical twins are played by Adam Sandler and Adam Sandler.
Are you going bald?
Huh?
No, you're getting fatter, and your hair doesn't realize it needs to cover more face.
Okay.
And a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
I think I'm starting to trip out
a little bit.
Those kids put something in here.
Dude, we're claymated.
Awesome.
For the younger set, there will be two youth-oriented pictures about robots, Real Steel and Martin Scorsese's Hugo, as well as a slew of name-brand kid flicks, including the first outing for the Muppets in more than a decade, a re-release of The Lion King in 3D, a Shrek spin-off called Puss in Boots, and Penguins Running Amok in Happy Feet 2.
Here's what we are going to do. We count to three. Push me on two.
One.
Ah!
baby penguins. Cute,
but ruthless.
In addition to all this fantasy, the fall will feature a bunch of real-life stories about the famous and not-so-famous. Director Clint Eastwood could have called his latest picture Hoover, but presumably so no one would think it was about a vacuum cleaner, he called it J. Edgar instead. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio as the longtime head of the FBI and promises to rummage through Hoover's, shall we say, closet of secrets. Other biopics include Machine Gun Preacher, about a born-again former drug dealer who started an orphanage in Sudan.
The entire rebel army has put a bounty on your head.
I must be doing something right.
Also, My Week with Marilyn, in which Michelle Williams impersonates Marilyn Monroe. Dolphin Tale, in which the dolphin Winter, who lost her tail in a crab trap, plays herself. And then there's a more speculative look at a real-life figure, the film Anonymous, which wades into the supposed mystery of who wrote Shakespeare's plays. The movie claims it was the 17th Earl of Oxford.
None of your poems or your plays will ever carry your name.
Who hired the actor William Shakespeare to impersonate a playwright.
Promise me you'll keep our secret safe.
This bit of revisionist history from Roland Emmerich, the disaster flick dude who brought you Godzilla and Independence Day. Meanwhile, the guy who made Resident Evil has another cataclysm up his sleeve.
We are surrounded by enemies. War will engulf the entire continent. Only we can prevent the coming apocalypse. D'Artagnan, you want to be a musketeer? This is your chance.
That's right, the Three Musketeers in 3D. For the crowd that thinks the dozens of previous versions were just too flat. But of all the odd pictures this fall, and there will be plenty, from Pedro Almodovar's latest provocation, The Skin I Live In, to the comic bromance The Big Year, starring Steve Martin and Jack Black as competitive bird watchers, perhaps the oddest is the surprise from this year's Cannes Film Festival. The Artist, a Jazz Age epic shot unconventionally in black and white, and of all the crazy things to be in an age of digitally perfect sound, a silent movie. A silent movie about the end of silent movies back in the 1920s, and a leading man on his way out, and a dancer on her way up, neither of whom needs words to be expressive. The Artist is said to be a likely Oscar contender, and its opening just before Thanksgiving will kick off the rush for end-of-year awards, a whole slew of holiday prestige pictures that we'll save for another day and another preview. I'm Bob Mondello.
The second season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills begins tonight on Bravo. For a while, it looked like the show might not make it on. A couple of weeks ago, the estranged husband of one of the housewives committed suicide. Commentator Andrew Wallenstein says that it's an awful situation, but not unprecedented in the world of reality TV.
The Real Housewives franchise has always been equal parts flashy and trashy.
It may look like I have it all, but I want more.
Basically, it's rich women who have nothing better to do and fight with each other to the amusement of their viewers.
In Beverly Hills, it's who you know, and I know everyone.
But the Beverly Hills edition will now have a very different tone, because Bravo had to rejigger the show since the suicide. Russell Armstrong was going to appear this season along with his wife, Taylor, one of the stars of the show. But now, he's been edited out. Now, this actually isn't the first time reality TV has had to contend with something a little too real. MTV found itself in a similar situation back in 2009 with Gone Too Far, a reality series featuring DJ AM, ministering to drug addicts trying to kick the habit.
I'm on my way to Olivia's house, and the whole family's gonna be there. And it's intervention time. Gina told me she wants help. I got a ticket. I got a treatment facility ready to accept her. Here comes the do or die part. I'm afraid she's all talk.
Just a few months before the show was to air, DJ AM died of an accidental overdose. But MTV was still able to put the show on the air with the family's blessing. No doubt Bravo is proceeding with Taylor's approval. Having a grieving widow complain? That's about as bad as publicity gets. Sometimes networks in this kind of predicament find it's better just to cancel than go forward.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro!
I love it. I love money. I'm gonna love my time in Mexico.
VH1 shelved reality series I Love Money 3 when one of the contestants ended up murdering his own wife. But cancellation didn't happen with The Real Housewives. because such a move would have been tantamount to the network accepting responsibility for the suicide, which it shouldn't have to. Armstrong was clearly dealing with personal and financial troubles that the show didn't help, but didn't cause either. Given all these reality TV tragedies, you'd think the industry is doing some soul-searching right about now. But it's likely this suicide will be forgotten soon enough. That is, until the next time something like this happens.
Andrew Wallenstein is an editor at Variety.
It's time for the occasional series we call In Your Ear. It's when some of our favorite guests tell us about the music that inspires them. And today we'll hear from Don Lemon. He's an Emmy-winning anchor at CNN, and recently he spoke with us about his memoir, Transparent. It chronicles his life growing up in racially divided Louisiana. And Don Lemon also writes about his more recent experience of coming out of the closet as a highly visible gay member of the media. Now we'll hear from him about some of the songs that help him get through a busy news day.
I'm Don Lemon, anchor for CNN, and right now what's playing in my ear is a very eclectic mix. First up, Ima Sumac. I like it because, number one, my sister was named after her and she has the most amazing voice on the planet. You should listen to it. Number two is the Ohio Players, I Want to Be Free.
One day, child, I won't have to listen to your lie. On that day, I'll be able to make up my own mind. You know, I think I done finally realized. Yes, I have. And now I think I can put you out of my life. I'm gonna be free.
Given that I just came out of the closet, I think it's appropriate. Enough said.
I'm gonna be free, child. Shucks. I'm gonna be free. Oh, oh.
And number three, Led Zeppelin. I'm a citizen of the world. I like all kinds of music. I hope you do too.
That was CNN anchor Don Lemon telling us what's playing in his ear. Finally, we want to close out today's program by going global with music.
Ooh.
You're hearing the sounds of the group Profetas singing the tune Chocolate. They're one of the many artists featured on the two latest albums from the Putumayo World Beat series. The Latin Beat and African Beat collection stay on the beat with Putumayo's mission of delivering exceptional world music to a broad audience that otherwise wouldn't hear it. To tell us more about this music is Putumayo World Music's founder and CEO, Dan Storper. Thanks for joining us, Dan Storper.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
I see these CDs everywhere I go. Tell me, at this point, how many collections has Putumayo released?
You know, I think I've lost count, but it's getting close to 200.
So what is special or different about these latest two releases we've got? Putumayo Presents Latin Beat and Putumayo Presents African Beat.
Well, you know, we had done a series that started, we called it the Groove Series, and one of our best-selling albums of all time was an album called Arabic Groove, which came out just before 9/11, and kind of struck me that somehow the music helps people rise above their problems, and contemporary music can be great regardless of where it's from, and it's become one of our best-selling albums, and we've explored a lot of contemporary music through the Groove Series. Well, we were getting ready to launch our first digital efforts as well as physical, so we said, you know, what should we do if we're going to kind of announce that we're kind of finally available digitally as well as through the wonderful network of stores that we sell? And we said, you know, let's continue and create a new series that is essentially inspired by kind of contemporary music around the world. World music meets electronica, meets R&B and other different contemporary elements. And that's what this series is about. And these are the first two releases in the series. We'll be doing a Brazilian one in January and others down the road.
So let's listen to some of the music. I want to start with Latin Beat. Tell us about this first song we're about to hear.
Well, the artist who founded the group called Charanga Cakewalk is a wonderful musician named Michael Ramos. He's from, lives in Austin, Texas, and I've really liked his music over the years. He's been in a lot of different bands. But he started Charanga Cakewalk as a kind of attempt to kind of go back to his roots. He's Mexican-American, and I was down in Austin for an event we did with Whole Foods, and he performed live. I was just so taken by how great the band was and how good the music was that I really wanted to include him on this first album of the Beat series.
Let's listen to just a little bit of Charanga Cakewalk. Now, I have to tell you, I had two people walking past my office as I was playing this, and they both said, cumbia music.
Well, at least, you know, they're pretty savvy, because a lot of people, if they see the word spelled, they'll say kumbaya. But it's, you know, cumbia is a wonderful dance music that actually began in Colombia, but spread throughout Latin America and Mexico. It's a big part of Mexican music now, and it's the basis of ranchera and a lot of other kinds of Mexican styles, and Tex-Mex music, as it's sometimes called.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. We're talking about the latest releases in the Putumayo World Beat series, Latin Beat and African Beat. And we're speaking with Putumayo World Music's founder and CEO, Dan Storper. Dan, you know, I think this must just be a fantastic job you have. I mean, you obviously can't collect all of these yourself, but it sounds like you do collect a lot. How do you go about making these choices?
Well, you know, over the years, I've traveled a lot. I've been to probably more than 50 countries, from the days that I was designing clothing and handicrafts in the early Putumayo years to the music years. I have a couple of people that help me that are great. They sometimes have, I joke that they have better jobs than I do, because they get to focus on the collection of music while I'm obviously running a company and I spend a lot of my time traveling. And some of the, you know, exciting things are to be able to discover something new that you've not been aware of before. And I think for Putumayo, that's been a big part of what we've been trying to do. So I remember going to Cape Verde and South Africa, and in that, you know, those trips, just coming across artists that I'd never heard of, who oftentimes were just recording for the first time or just put out an album, and you just, you know, where have they been all your life? They've been performing locally, but never were known, even in their backyard oftentimes. So I think part of the quest, you know, we're always looking to find great music, but we've built up a database, and, you know, every album that we put out thematically somehow is an attempt to kind of create a musical package that takes you on a journey, and at the end of it, hopefully is guaranteed to make you feel good.
Let's cross the ocean and talk about African Beat, the other album that we want to talk about today. What were you going for here? You've put out a lot of music from the continent.
Well, you know, one of the things that's always been true about Africa, and again, almost more symbolic there, you know how difficult many of the issues in Africa are poverty, disease. And so, you know, the tendency for me is to always look for music that helps people rise above their daily problems. You know, and when I can feel my foot tapping and really get into a song and it changes and improves my own spirits, I kind of feel it's a good thing. So Africa is known for such wonderful upbeat music. So I, you know, feel like as much as I possibly can, I'm trying to kind of identify great artists, some of whom are on Putumayo's collection for the first time, you know, complete unknowns to me and many other people. I'm sure if you buy this or listen to this African Beat album, most people won't know, even people that are, you know, involved in world music.
I have to confess, you could put me right in that camp. So you pick, please pick a song for us.
It's called Yelisan Umoya Maafrika. I think what it translates to roughly is African nation, calm down. This is a song by a woman who unfortunately passed away during the World Cup in South Africa in 2010. Her name is Buzi Malongo. And, you know, if you look at the lyrics, and we do have pretty extensive liner notes, some of the words and the storyline of the song are translated, and you can see how some of the things are pretty common, whether they're written in Europe or America. You know, it's about trying to find peace, equanimity, dealing with grief, lost love, and found love, and all the different things that are commonplace everywhere. But this one particularly is, you know, ends with the words, "We've been killing each other for too long now."
Let's listen to a bit of it. So just to reiterate, that was the late Buzi Malongo, and she's singing Yelisan Umoya Maafrika and the words, and how long, just how long are we going to cry? You know, you get a chance to give such a message to people with your collections. What did we say? About 200 now?
Almost 200, yeah.
What do you hope people take from these collections, Dan Storper?
Well, you know, I think what Putumayo has tried to do from the beginning days when I traveled to Mexico when I was 16 and on through the years, you know, my sense is I'm trying to show the more positive side of cultures around the world that really are very creative. Whether it's Haiti or Africa, it doesn't matter. You know, oftentimes handicrafts, music, food, dance, you know, film these days, lots of great cultural things are created in a lot of wonderful, you know, beautiful parts of the world that are troubled. And so, you know, one of the things I hope to do is show the more positive side of these cultures.
We'd love it if you'd take us out on a song. What song should we go out on?
Well, I think, you know, we were kind of looking at the African collection, and one of the guys that I was really happy to find is a guy named Freddie Masamba, and there's a song called Zonza. And he's actually from the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is a troubled area. He was forced because of political reasons to move and lives in Belgium. I was, you know, struck by how here's a guy I didn't know anything about. We have a small office in South Africa, and they turned me on to him and sent me a link to his music. And I feel like, you know, somehow, you know, we have the ability, I think, to identify people who are just, you know, exceptional artists and they're not known. And this is a springboard, hopefully. You know, I think, you know, whether it's now through the physical collections or with these albums, which we're launching digitally now, it will be an opportunity for anyone anywhere to be able to hear the music.
Dan Storpore. He's the founder and CEO of Putumayo World Music, and he joined us from NPR's New York Bureau. The Putumayo's new Latin Beat and African Beat collections are in stores and online now. Dan Storpore, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
And that's our program for today. I'm Jackie Leiden, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Tune in for more talk tomorrow. Chibunzonza bunzonzele, unisea kwaniya, chibunzega bunzele, unichila kwaniya, chibunchila bunjididi, ka bunituna kwaniya, samubeka bunjindina. Mame, jambo nini na mema, mame, 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 mame. Ra 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 ra